Hello, welcome to the Primary Care Priest series. This is our fourth episode. I'm Father Simeon. This episode is a continuation of our previous episode. So before you listen to this one, you may want to listen to episode 3. Actually, all of our episodes really build on the previous one. So if you really want to get to the heart of what we're talking about and understand, you may want to go back to episode 1 and catch up. Although definitely listen to episode 3 because it's really a continuation as we talk about the physician that we need. Here is this question. Why are we talking about Jesus? Or really, why do we have to talk about Jesus if we are going to talk about spirituality? So that the word spirituality actually means something. We have to base our understanding on our diagnosis and our spiritual healing and our transformation needs rooted in immovable theological truths. Even more than we have to build an understanding of medical diagnosis and biological healing on science-based research and medical practice. And that's because that science changes. Theology doesn't change. You know, sometimes individuals with a scientific mind like to say something like, science is true whether or not you believe in it. But what not everybody seems to realize is that it's not only true with regard to science, but that's also true of theology, spirituality. Right? I mean, real spirituality isn't a product of your imagination or your emotions or your rational speculations about the world or neurochemical and electrical processes in the brain. Just as somebody with a PhD in a scientific field from an Ivy League university or medical school can make scientific claims that are unverifiable, experimentally unrepeatable, and constitute fabricated pseudoscience, but that's presented in such a way that it convinces people that it's true, like a conspiracy theory or something. There are people who make convincing claims about religion and spirituality that sound convincing, but are false, not corresponding to the truth about who God is or what it means to be human, male and female. The diagnosis of our problem, our real root problem, our human potential, and how to get there. God is who he is. The real God is who he is, whether or not you believe in him. The way that really leads to actual spiritual healing and transformation exists, whether or not you recognize or follow that path. And this takes us back to that question. Who can we trust as a physician to diagnose us and to show us the effective therapeutic course of treatment for our souls and help us along that way? So let's get back to the story we talked about in episode 3. Back to the life of Jesus Christ in first century Palestine. Christ's ministry of teaching that way of life, and his ministry of healing, restoring life, it led to his crucifixion by the Romans. On a cross with his arms outstretched, his hands and his feet nailed to the wood, and a crown of thorns pushed down on his head, the man Jesus of Nazareth died. But he is not just a human man. He is the uncreated God. Christ willingly gave his human nature over to death. But in his divine nature, he doesn't change and he can't die because he is life himself, the source of life. As we sing, he who was suspended upon a tree suspended the earth upon the waters. So, through his human death on the cross, the Son of God, being equal to the Father as God, crushed the power of the invisible demonic realm and destroyed the power of death. There was a sign placed on Jesus' cross above his head that mocked him as a fake king, the king of the Jews. And his crucifixion was supposed to show everyone that he was a shamed failure. What good is a dead king? A would-be Messiah. Especially one receiving such a shameful death. But Christ ascended the cross as the King of Glory, to use the cross as a weapon to conquer death and the demonic powers that have tried to drag us from the God who loves us down to the pit of spiritual death. One of the criminals crucified beside Christ said to him before he died, "Remember me in your kingdom." And Christ promised this repentant thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So even though we are still mortal and we experience death in the soul and in the body, and there are also demons still in the world working, our relationship with death and the evil spiritual powers, it is not the same as it was before what happened 2,000 years ago. It's really appropriate that we divide time into BC, before Christ, and AD, that time since Christ came into the world. It's fashionable to call it BCE, before the common era, and CE, the common era, today in secular circles. But still, whose presence in the world is the real dividing line between the time before, all of human history before, and the time that we still live in now? Remember way back, recorded in the book of Genesis, that God warned Adam that if he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that he would die by death. After Adam and Eve ate the fruit of that tree and experienced death in the soul, God expelled them from paradise, so they wouldn't also eat from another tree in the garden, the tree of life. And then having eaten from the tree of life, would continually exist in a sickened mortal state, with also their souls contaminated by death. In his crucifixion, Christ turned his cross into the tree of life, and himself, his body and blood, into the medicine of immortality. So Christ is both the physician and the medicine, and we need another episode to talk about that. And he reopened the gates of paradise to us. Now, the crucifixion isn't all. After he died, Christ's body was taken down from the cross, and it was laid in a tomb, and that tomb was sealed and guarded. During this time that his body rested in the tomb, God resting on the seventh day, that being fulfilled, Christ and his soul descended down into Hades, the realm of the dead. And what happened? Hades took a man and suddenly came face to face with God. Do you know what happens in a dark room when you turn the light on? That's what happened to death when it swallowed up the one who is life and who is light. Now remember that we're talking about a mystery beyond human rational comprehension. And keep in mind again that poetry is often the language of theology. So we see Hades image sort of this monster that has swallowed up all of the souls of everyone who has died. And as though it were just taking another human being, it came face to face with God. Another way of describing this is that Christ, the King of Glory, broke down the gates of Hades, this prison holding all of the departed souls, and freed those souls trapped there from death's control. And Christ did all of this while his body was laying in a tomb. Listen to this. In the tomb with the body, in Hades with the soul as God, in paradise with the thief, and on the throne with the Father and the Holy Spirit, you filled everything, O Christ, yourself, without limit. Without limit, or uncircumscribed, means that there's no edge to God, right? The whole universe, everything that exists is contained within him, and he is everywhere in the creation. And God himself, there is no edge, there is no limit. After his crucifixion and burial, on the third day, Christ rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples. Now, why does this matter for our healing? When Christ rose from the dead, he didn't just return to mortal life, like he returned Lazarus to mortal life so that Lazarus died again later. Christ did not rise up to mortality again to die later on. But Christ, being God, raised up our human nature to immortality, untouchable again by sickness or weakness or corruption or death. This is a way of being beyond the limitation of our comprehension. All that we know is a world touched by death. And all that we know is this material world touched by death that we know with regard to our physical bodies. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a bodily resurrection to immortality. This is important too. Our destiny is not just to be some kind of immortal, bodiless souls floating out there, as though the soul is freed from the body or trapped in the body. The body is not like a bottle with a soul inside of it. Salvation is the healing and the transfiguration and the raising up of the soul and the body together. We absolutely reject a spirituality detached from the body. Knowing that the soul and body are united is important because what you do with your body affects your spiritual health. This is something really not understood in our society. And your spiritual health can affect your body. Like your behavior with your body, that's affected by your spiritual health. And at least sometimes the health of your body is affected by your spiritual health. Also, knowing that the body is part of our salvation helps us realize that the body is sacred and to be respected. And that's true during medical treatment, the end of life, even after physical death. We treat the body with respect. And by the way, attempts to extend human life by science really only extends mortality. And the expulsion of paradise to keep Adam and Eve from the tree of life was about this not happening. Even if we can do it, why would we want to live a continuing existence of corruption and death? Immortality, again, is a completely different state, beyond the realm of the fallen world, beyond the scope of science, which looks at the material world that we live in. And only God can raise up to immortality because it requires his power. It involves his uncreated energy, which is his grace. As if raising our human nature to immortality, this final destruction of death in the body and the soul, was not enough, Christ ascended with our human nature into heaven, where he always has been as God, the highest place our human nature can be. And then he sent his Holy Spirit to indwell his church on earth, making the church a spiritual hospital for everyone in the world who wants to be healed by the power of the only one who can, the true and living God. And that holy Orthodox church that we see in the scripture after 2,000 years is still here with the same presence of God, even here in Houston, Texas. By the way, the reason theology is so important is that science and medicine and psychology is based on the observation and investigation of a fallen material world, one fallen into death with chaos and passions and fragmentation, sin, egotism, all of these associated symptoms. But theology is from God revealing himself to human beings through experience. So God reveals who we were intended to be and who we are and what our real problem is and who we can be through his grace. So what is healthy and normal from a scientific perspective, a perspective looking at fallen human beings in a fallen material world, is still sick and abnormal and unnatural from a theological perspective. Because the theological perspective doesn't look at what is normal for a human being in a world afflicted by death. But the standard is one that is healed beyond being afflicted by death in body and soul. We don't base our standards on observation and investigation and rational analysis or philosophical questioning of this world fallen into death. But it's derived from what has been revealed by the one who is life, who created us, who made the way for us to return to paradise. Again, we can't talk about spirituality or healing in the fullest sense of the soul and ultimately the body without talking about the person of Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Theanthropos, and what he has done for us as our physician. Because we fell into the state of death in the soul and the body. And as God, he moved in human history up to the time when he became one of us, took on our human nature to heal our human nature and to teach us the way of healing as one of us. And he trampled down death by his own death on the cross and crushed the power of the devil and the demonic spirits of the invisible realm and raised up our human nature to immortality. God loves us. That's how much he loves his creatures, human beings, that he became one of us to heal us and to raise us up, to open the gate for us to reach our full potential. If we can receive this truth and conform our lives to it, it will change everything in our lives, everything in your life. So here is the main finer point. Write this down. What Christ has already accomplished by healing our human nature, you have to choose to personally participate in what he has already done. He has healed human nature, but you individually have to choose to be healed. You have to choose to follow the way that he has laid out before us all, the way he has taught us to live. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how good you think you are, or how much you despair over what you've done in the past, or that you're doing now, if you're willing to change. This is open to you. It doesn't matter what your job is. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your culture. if you are part of the human race, this is good news for you. But you have to take that path. You have to choose to take up your cross daily and to follow Christ on the way that leads to the healing of the soul and ultimately the body. How do we practically live that therapeutic way of life under the care of the physician? Well, we're going to talk about that. But first, now that we've talked about the physician who conquered death and can heal us from death, let's talk a little bit about his hospital, the context of our healing, where we work toward this healing together. Now, Americans, especially Texans, listen to this. As much as we may hear about individualism, in the spiritual life, we are not meant to be isolated and alone, but together in this spiritual unity beyond the comprehension of our rational minds, a deep unity with a common purpose invested in each other's lives and helping one another along the way, and together helping others out in the world. It's all part of our life that leads us to a deeper experience of life. We'll talk about that. This is Father Simeon. Thank you for listening to this fourth episode of Primary Care Priest. And please, if you find this beneficial, share it. We have so much to talk about. God bless your journey. Christ is risen. Indeed, he is risen.